You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Today, before we jump in, we'd love to, if you'd leave a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, those five stars do really help. We'd also like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shoe machine on the market. I'll get it out. Not only are they innovative, unbelievable how shooting machines have changed. You know, I remember when they used to have those long metal racks coming from the court, but how they've innovated, how they've put the trainers right in front of you. It's unbelievable. So go over and check it out. Also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. There's nothing else on the market like it. Nowhere else are you going to get the bat phone to the person running it. No, you know, yes, they might do quarterly or monthly or weekly calls, but they're not on your beck and call. If you have a question, if you have an email, trust me, I will get back to you. I will respond. I will get on a call with you that day. So come over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Let's head off to the podcast.
Priority of my wife and I, and for my wife and I, and Billy Lang is a person that I've grown a great relationship over the years. And so it was just the right career move at the time. And it's been a tough 2 years, but one that I think we're fighting through. And now we're on the other side. I think we have a good returning roster, and hopefully it'll produce some wins.
Yeah, well, I think the last couple of years have been hard on everybody. I mean, just any from all of those things. How was the pandemic hard as far as practice and skill development?
Philadelphia, like every city, county, state government, was different than a lot of places in our league. So we had different restrictions as it related to what we could do and what we could do in person, numbers, group numbers, et cetera. And so we had to first figure out a plan that met the criteria from the Philadelphia Health Department that also then worked with our St. Joe's health group as well. But we just tried to do two things. We tried to keep the spirit of the group at a certain level, and we tried to maximize the time that we had with them and be really intentional about what we were working to develop. So there wasn't a lot of wasted time. There was as great energy whenever we got together, but it was challenging because there was a lot of Zoom calls to keep the players engaged mentally so that they didn't just atrophy while sitting at home.
No, trust me, we didn't even play at all in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's like a challenge. I can't imagine that challenge.
It was hard. And what do you say to the seniors? You know, what do I say to them? Like, it's like, you know, it's hard to keep them. So this is a specific question for a coach. What do you look for in a recruit?
Well, that's probably the number one of the top questions we receive, because everyone wants to know the recruiting criteria. And I think it's all specific to what your head coach prefers. I mean, you've been a head coach for a number of years. So every head coach has what they view as the player that fits their system, so to say.
Yep.
For us, we take a lot of three-pointers. We value that element of the game. So we look for players that could produce in a world of taking a lot of three-pointers, playing with a little bit more freedom as a decision maker in space. And then we really value character. So it's this combination of, can you shoot? What type of decisions do you make? And what's your character?
Right.
And then from we'll just go.
So what do you think the difference is between a D1 player and a D2 player? And a D2 and a D3, what do you think separates a player from getting a D2 offer from a D1 offer? I think I know the answer to this, but I'm interested in what you think the answer is.
Well, sometimes it's politics. It's who you know. It's what jersey you're wearing, where geographical location, all like that definitely plays a part in the equation. Sometimes it's the exposure that you get, meaning what's your environment that you're playing in, and through the lens of the people recruiting you, whether Division 1, 2, or 3, do they feel like it's competitive enough, or that you're producing enough if it's at a really competitive level, or do they feel like you're not producing enough at a what they might consider a lower level of competition? I mean, there's so many elements to just sitting there and watching a player compete. But maybe there's an athletic difference depending on the position. I don't know. I think high level Division IIIs, i.e. a Middlebury or Williams College, they're recruiting Division I players. And they have the academic selling point to do so, for sure. But I think in the end of the day, I think there's a slight maybe skill gap and athleticism gap that, depending on the lens and the who's recruiting you,
I think from a global look, is you tend to be, if you're getting D2 or D3 offers and not D1 offers, you're probably missing something in your game.
Yep.
Might be height, might be athleticism, might be shoot, whatever. You're missing something. And my personal opinion is, the difference is, can you defend the ball? Is the biggest difference. Like, can I stop you one-on-one? Like, am I athletic enough to keep you in front and defend you? The offensive part, I think that's part of it, but I think, can I stop you? Like, as a 6'4 guy, can I stop another 6'4 guy one-on-one athletically? Can I keep you in front? That's, I think, the big, because there's guys at the D3 level, D2 level that they're either missing something or they just can't quite defend the ball. Like, that's my observation. Because otherwise, I mean,
That's definitely plays a part. But, you know, no, outside of high school coaches in this world of high school basketball, and I know AAU does as well, but they don't practice as often as you guys do in the high school level. So building a defensive scheme in AAU is challenging. And so there's no real emphasis on that one-on-one element of defense. I mean, if you go to AAU games now, you'll see, depending, you know, on the level, you'll see people playing 2-3 zone. So that doesn't really give any opportunity for exposure in the world that you're referring to, one-on-one defense, for example. But like Duncan Robinson, who is obviously a hot name, a hot topic of a Division III player, goes Division I, and now he just gets an $80 million contract. I'm sure defensively he couldn't guard anybody. So you're probably spot on. Right. Now, he goes to Michigan, which is the perfect system, and I don't know if Coach Bealon asked him to guard anybody there either. Just flame throw it in the rim.
And he also had a plus in the sense he grew and he had size. If he's 6'3", if he's 6'3", we're not having this discussion.
No, we're not.
He has a factor that changed a little bit between his senior year and freshman year. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, very good player, you know, but you know, some of those things happen. What do you think is the most overtaught skill and the most undertaught skill?
I think the most overtaught skill is dribbling or some element of one-on-one dribbling, so to say, because it's the percentage in a game that's actually utilized is so small. And I think shooting isn't taught nearly enough, believe it or not. And shooting will always, no matter what direction the game of basketball goes, will always play a major part in the game. Yep. And so
I'm telling you, dribbling. Yeah, I 100% agree with what you just said, because like everyone can become a shooter. Not everyone can become a scorer, but everyone can become, if you put enough reps in, you can be a shooter. I'm just telling you.
I mean, and dribbling is the hardest thing to master. Right. It's not right now. The tendency in the workout world seems to be working on some element of a one-on-one.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Playmaking world. And within the confines of any basketball game at any level, you rarely dribble unless you're in the NBA and you're getting paid to make plays off the dribble. Your salary dictates how many dribbles you get to take.
That's true. I love that. That's true. I never thought about that. There's a correlation between dribbles and pay. I'm going to use that in my, I wonder if anyone's done that for my AP stats class. I'm going to see. Oh, that's interesting. That's true. I never thought of that.
Yeah,
that was one of the prime example. He didn't dribble much. He would just stand in the corner and be ready to shoot. But now he's gonna make more money. He probably gets to dribble more. Yeah,
maybe. If he's smart, he'll still keep his dribbles limited and his shots plentiful.
That's true. Do you have a coaching like failure or a moment that a young coach that's listening to this could learn from?
I would say that like probably my earliest failure was executing a opponent scouting report in front of the team. The combination of communicating to the team in an efficient and an effective manner without being too long-winded, and at the same time making sure that you remember what the opponent actually does, that was a tough moment my first couple. So you know, for any young coaches listening, it's like studying for a test.
Yeah.
It's worth practicing. It's worth writing it all down. There's no reason to be that waiter or waitress that comes to the table and doesn't write down your order. You know they're going to get it wrong. So,
yep. Less is more. Less is more.
Yeah. Give yourself a chance to get your first couple opponent scouting reports communicated correctly.
I agree. I mean, I used to hand out like 30 pagers. Now I'm down to like 2 pagers because we live in a TikTok world where I got them for about 30 seconds. And it's like, this guy can do this. Like literally that, like the other part of the scouting report's more for me. If you could sit down with a living or a deceased coach for an hour, who would you want to sit down with?
Oh, that's a tough question. I would, let me think about this for one.
That's
second
okay.
Because it's a
relatively
good, it's a
new
real,
question to the podcast, so it's okay.
I have a name on the tip of my tongue, Bill Russell.
Okay. Why?
Yeah. Because, first of all, he was a coach, and he won a championship. And it's not spoken about very often because of his success as a player. But his humility, when I listen to him speak, is incredibly unique. But more importantly, I just feel like I could sit there and let him talk the entire time. And right. I could leave there a better person, a smarter person, with just a unique perspective from his life.
When I ask people about the best player of all time, his name never comes up. And I'm not sure why. I mean, yeah. He's got to be in the discussion in the sense he has the most rings. And you know, but he wasn't Wilt. He wasn't like, he wouldn't have been on TikTok. He wouldn't have been like, right, he would have been right, the guy with no social media, and Wilt would have been the guy with social media. It's just this, it's their personalities.
Right.
That I love that. That's a great one. What do you think is the biggest change you've seen in the game since you started coaching?
This idea of data and analytics has definitely shifted offensive philosophies. More towards three-point shooting, I think, in all levels of basketball. So that's the sheer number of three-point shots per game. That's been the biggest change. Two big men fall more regularly. Now it's a ton of three-pointers. So it's I guess the word that everyone uses, the game's evolving. Depends. Whatever helps you win.
Hey, I'm telling you, I tell young kids, if you get a mid-range jump shot off the dribble, you are gold. Like, I know what the analytics say, but that shot is open.
End of the day,
it's open. Yeah, That's the issue.
It's a hard. I mean, it depends on everyone's lens is changing because data is such a buzzword, and I know you teach what, statistics?
Yeah, I do.
And so you're in that world. Yeah, you're in that world of using numbers. You're using numbers regularly to find what's the most effective way to do something. And right. I think that's where the game's now evolved towards figuring out what's the most efficient and effective way to play offensively. It is.
It's statistics. It's collect, organize, analyze, and interpret data. That's all people are doing right now. That's what I do every day in my math class. To be honest with you. All right. I'm going to go through and do my rapid fire, cause I know you got to go here. What's your favorite brand of basketball, the actual ball you play
with? We play with the Nike ball. I would probably say my favorite basketball is the NBA ball.
You like that?
I know ball. the new one's Wilson, but the old,
I think it was a Spalding or something. What's NBA one, ball, yeah. So I think what's one word to describe your ideal player?
Competitive.
Okay. Do you have a favorite pregame or postgame meal?
I lost you. Pregame or postgame
meal?
Meal. I don't eat pregame meals.
Okay.
It's been a superstition that I've had since college.
Okay.
And postgame, not necessarily, kind of whatever's in front of me.
Yeah. Okay. What's one thing you do to relax?
Ooh. With three children, there's not much opportunity to relax. But if there was time, I would say run. I'd go for a run. That actually helps me, quote unquote, relax.
I think I go for long walks with my dogs. Describe the perfect player in five words or less.
Competitive, intelligent, instinct, talented.
Okay. Best basketball player of all time.
Michael Jordan.
Okay. High school shot clock, yes or no?
Yes.
If you could change one thing about the game, what would you change?
I'm going to pull a coaching cliche, control what you can control. So I actually don't spend much time thinking about that idea. I know it's not a great answer, but.
No, you know what I would do? I'd make the court wider.
Yeah, that's an interesting. The lane or the whole court?
The whole court. It's too narrow. The bodies are too big now.
Yeah, the bodies are big. They run into each other quite a bit.
They run in. It's like 94. I can live with 94, you know. But the width of the court, and again, I don't think it's going to happen. But it's just, even at the high school level, the bodies are so freaking big. There's no room. We need more space.
No, there's no room. Yeah, it's an interesting. I actually never heard somebody say that. I like that.
Yeah, that's what I would do if I could change the game. I don't know if I'd move the – I mean, I think I would have actually moved the rim down a little bit for the women's game, but I wouldn't now. I would have maybe 30 years ago. Right. You could even move it up for the guys' game at this point to maybe 10.5, because I think that would change the game too. But the whips, I think, is the big one. Best coach of all time?
Best coach of all time. Wow. I'm just going to say my high school coach, William Speedy Morris.
Ooh, I love that. here's one. High school, keep the jump ball, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. If you could recommend one book, what would you recommend?
The Inner Game of Tennis. It was a book that I read over the pandemic. I thought it was really, first of all, it's an easy read. And second of all, it was for coaches that are looking to teach, thought it had a lot of interesting and relevant topics.
I love that. Quarters or halves?
Indifferent. Quarters or halves for college, I tend to gravitate towards because I'm used to it, but I know that a lot of people want quarters. So yeah, I've done.
We play halves. I'm a big fan of halves. We play 2 18-minute halves. I'm a big fan. I am.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
The flow works much better. All right. My last question to every coach is, if you'd give yourself some advice as a younger coach, what would it be?
My advice to my younger self would be to be more present, whether it be at work or outside of work. And when you're a younger coach, you become a workaholic, somebody that works. Missing elements of life are just really important. That could just be being with your family, or even when you're at work, putting your phone down and making sure you're paying attention to what's going on. So just be more present.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Coach. I appreciate it.
Coach.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like. Leave a review. We love those 5-star reviews. We're going to leave a 1-star. You can skip to the next podcast. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.